Hi guys, it's your girl Chris, and welcome to the Good News Podcast. Woo! Boo, 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 boo. Thank you, Freeman. So this is actually my very first podcast. I'm a little nervous, a little excited. It has been a really long time coming. I was doing a Bible study with a friend, like probably like 3 years ago, and we would meet every single morning, and every single time we would do it, we were like, this is so fun. We should actually do a podcast, because I think a lot of people have this perspective of Christians that when they read the Bible, it's very boring and it's not fun, or it can be a little difficult. And while we were busy exploring the Bible, we were like, we have so much fun. And we can be girls, we can giggle about things. And I know for a fact that Jesus is also like busy giggling with us. So we were like, we should start a podcast. And then it was like, okay, cool. We went, we fasted about it. We went and we got some equipment ready. And then when it actually came time to starting the podcast, we just got busy and it didn't happen. And then 3 years went by of disobedience, and it was still really on my heart to start a podcast. And I remember last year, I was very crazy about social media. I was very on it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to start pursuing social media. I did. And I really learned a lot. And the one thing that I learned is that social media is terrifying. It's very scary. And I was like, I actually don't want to do this. I just left university and I was busy entering into the workspace. And one thing that I realized is that it was no longer just my friends watching my content, but actually people who wanted to hire me. It was like future bosses. There was also a lot of things where I could say something and it could be used against me in like 20 years time. So God put on my heart to start a podcast. And I was like, I'm actually not going to do this, because I don't want to watch myself in 10 years time and be like, that's so cringe and embarrassing and awkward. So I never did it, and I was disobedient. And yeah, but then last year, God really took me through the season where it was just me and him. And my main form of media that I consumed was podcasts. It's so easy, because you can just listen. And otherwise, you can just like sit and chill and listen to podcasts. You can drive. You can do everything with podcasts. And it was so crazy, because while I was I'm laughing because Freeman's moving. Freeman is my cameraman, but also my friend. And I'm really blessed to have him busy helping me film. So there are going to be some moments where I interact with him. But it's fine, because this is a safe place. We're all besties. So it's going to be fun. What was I saying? Oh, I forgot for a second. No, we're talking about the podcast. I genuinely forgot what I was saying. No, it's fine. I remember. So I wanted to start a podcast. I was consuming podcasts. I was busy watching them. And there were two podcasts that I was watching. And I really liked watching it. The one was Girls Gone Bible. The other one was The George Janko Show. And when I was busy watching these shows, these people claimed to be Christian, and I believe that they were Christian. But during the shows, they would sometimes swear. They were sometimes like sleeping before marriage. They were doing things that weren't very Christ-centered, but it would be insane, because they would have guests come onto the podcast, or they would have God personally speak to them and be like, yo, you shouldn't swear, or you shouldn't live your life like this. And I was sitting and I was watching this unfold. And it was so amazing, because I was like, okay, George just got rebuked for swearing and he promised that he would never swear again. I wonder if next episode I come and I watch, I wonder if he's gonna fix his language. And it was so incredible, because he did. And every single episode that I watched of him, or Girls Gone Bible, or just a different podcast, every single time I recognized that there was growth. And I had so much fear within me, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go on a podcast and I'm going to get canceled for saying these things. But instead, I was watching God's hand at work in other people, and they would make mistakes. And it was beautiful, because God used it as a sanctification process, and he would actually grow them. And so it had been a year of me watching other people do podcasts, and they were completely different people. That was so bad. They had grown so much, and I sat there and I was telling God, and I was like, God, I am so jealous right now. And I just repent for being disobedient, because the whole time I was too busy listening to my fears to listen to what you were telling me to do. And I never knew that this could actually be a space where it could grow me instead of crush me. And God's word always say that I will strengthen you. I will be there to help you. And so this is me finally being obedient and starting a podcast. Bow, 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 bow. I'm going to be very consistent, and I'm just so excited. I kind of want to just give you guys a little background so you can understand like the purpose of this podcast. The name of this podcast is The Good News Podcast. And that is literally inspired by Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, which says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. We never prayed before we started this. I was reading and I was like, I literally never prayed. So we're going to put a pin in that. We're going to pray, and then we're going to carry on this podcast. So close your eyes. If you're driving, please do not close your eyes. Please keep them open and focus on the road. But everyone else, close your eyes. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing opportunity to go and to spread your word and to be the light of the people. I pray that everyone watching, you may just have their hand upon them. Everything that I say, Lord God, may it just be to glorify you, Lord God. This is honestly to spread your kingdom. So if there's anyone out there that needs to hear this, that needs to hear the good news, that had misconceptions, Lord God, I pray that this may be a place that provides clarity, provides comfort, and where they may come to know you ultimately. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I was saying, this is the Good News Podcast. What can you expect from this podcast? On this podcast, we are unafraid to address hard topics, break down negative Christian stereotypes, and show the joy of finding life in Christ, thus lighting the way for others to live authentically in Christ. This is one thing that I had when I was growing up. Is I grew up in a Christian household. I went to a Christian school. I literally grew up in the church. Like, you know, I don't know everyone's backgrounds, but I was that kid where my parents served in church so much that I would sleep on the floor every second day. Like, under the chairs was like my spot. So I'm very comfortable with the church environment. But one thing that I experienced was that a lot of people around me, they weren't living Christ-centered. They weren't really showing off that like light and that brightness, and they weren't really being disciples of Christ. So only until like grade 11 was I really like, hold on a second. Who is this guy? Like, how are we different from the world? Because to be honest, we weren't. Everyone was kind of the same no matter where I was. And I was like, this is kind of not what the Bible is saying. So I went and I was like, I actually want to find out who this Jesus guy is. And I went on my own discovery of trying to identify who he was. And when I did, it was the most transforming thing I ever did. This guy was so amazing, and living in his kingdom and his perceptions and his morals and how he viewed things was so much better than what I had experienced. Every single day was so full of joy and life. And I was like, I can't believe I had lived 17 years of my life not knowing this. I can't believe that there was not one person in my life that exuded Christ's light and actually told me things. Because I went to high school, and the biggest thing was like, okay, how many boys can you kiss? Who have you slept with? And now I'm sitting here and I have truth, and I'm like, that's not actually, there's a better way to live. There's a better way to go about life. And it's so much better, but there was just no one there to say it to me. And I always tell God, I'm like, God, I really wish you had sent someone, just anyone, to just show me. Maybe I missed it. Maybe I had my eyes closed. Maybe I was focused on the wrong things. But truly, there was no one to be a good example for me. So I really want from this podcast, I want to address hard topics, which is very hard because a lot of Christians are scared to do so because it's like TMI, you're going to get kicked out the church. How dare you say these words? And honestly, I think that creates bondage. I think not being able to tell the truth keeps people naive. And that's one thing about Christians. A lot of people throw around this word like, oh my gosh, you're so innocent. But can I be real? We so are. We are very sheltered, which in a lot of areas is a very good thing, but it's also really bad because when we are faced with questions, there is actually no one that we can really turn to and ask for help. I know when I was busy discovering my journey, I didn't have like any mentors, or I wasn't really like close with all the people in the church. And if I had questions about like sex or about drinking or about secular music, it's awkward to just go talk to a random aunt and be like, so what do you think about this? And it's like, yeah, it's not the vibe. So I would go onto social media, I would go onto YouTube, and I'd find all these Christian podcasts, and they were too scared to talk about it. And I was just sitting there and I was like, I'm in the pits and nobody wants to help me. And I was like, I had to go. It was me and the Holy Spirit. And I had to find the answer with him. And thank God that he brought me through those journeys so that now I can have those hard topics with you guys. I can be your big sister. But some people might be older than me, so I can just be your sister. I'll just be your little Christian nerd that just tells you all the fun facts that I learned. I also really want to break down negative Christian stereotypes. Growing up, I came from a very charismatic church, which basically means we like to clap. Shoot me. How dare I enjoy music? Like, oh my gosh. But growing up in high school, it was a thing of where my beliefs were embarrassing. To dance and to celebrate and worship was embarrassing. The way that Christians were perceived to live was very embarrassing. It was this thing of where we're very naive, we're very innocent. We wear long skirts. We are very conservative. We're just like these weird clean freaks. And that is so false. I think it's also perception that Christians are extremely judgmental, which is true, but it's also not true. And so I realized that there was a lot of stereotypes about Christianity, and there was no one. Christians are like, we keep to ourselves a lot of the times. You have some Christians who aren't afraid to like go out and evangelize, but otherwise we really stay in our little communities, which sucks because other people don't get to see how we actually live. And can I be honest with you? Because I've had seasons where I went to university, I partied, I had a great time. I didn't have a great time, that's a lie. I hated university, but I experienced different types of lives, and my favorite is still being Christian. There's a pureness to it. There's, for example, I'm like in a room now with my mate, Freeman. He's a male and I don't feel scared whatsoever. I feel very safe right now, which for a lot of females cannot be said when we're out in the world and we're alone with a male and it's kind of like, I feel scary. But that's, you see, I want to bring up those truths. I want to break down Christian stereotypes and just show you that it's really fun. The joy of finding life in Christ. Christ is fun. Christ, there's so much joy. And I think a lot of people are busy dealing with like depression, especially with like social media. It's so quick to get like a dopamine hit. But I want to show you what it looks like to be full of joy. There's a lot of people that I'm sure are watching that probably woke up this morning and was like, the fact that I'm alive right now sucks. I don't want to die. Like, I hate being here. And I want to tell you that there's a way of living where you actually wake up and you're happy that you're awake. That exists. And I'm so excited to tell you more about it. So I told you that the foundational scriptures was Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. So I'm not just here for fun. God put it in the dang word of God to go make disciples of men. So everything that I say is for the purpose to teach you and to show you the way. My voice made, my throat made like a little noise. I don't know if you guys could hear that. I don't know if you need to know this, but I'm human. Anyway, another foundational verse that I will be following is, you are the light of Christ to the world. Like I said, when I was younger, I didn't really have good examples. I didn't have anyone that was the light to me. So I really want to be the light to someone out there and just show you a new way of living. So I, saying that, everything I do, I'm really going to focus on like being obedient to God and not just having like random topics. I really want it to be specific. I want to have some fun moments because I want to show you guys that being a Christian can be like really fun. So there's going to be moments where I'm going to bring my friends on board. We're just going to have girl chats or guy chats and just like discuss silly things, because I really want to show you what it looks like to be in Christian community with healthy relationships, healthy communications. I want to be sharing some testimonies. I also want to be teaching you guys the word of God. God has really given me a gift of revelation. So that's one thing. He's always like, Christine, I tell you really cool things about the Bible. You need to tell other people because it's really cool. And I was like, okay, yes, but what if it's wrong? And he was like, it's not wrong. And I was like, but what if it's wrong? And it's not, because God's really cool like that. So I was busy praying to God and I was like, okay, God, what should I do for the very first podcast? And God was like, teach my people how to read the word of God. And that was so cool. And it makes so much sense, because honestly, God is the word. That's what it says in John. I am the word made flesh. So if I can teach you guys how to read the word, I can teach you how to have your own relationship with this really amazing guy. Because now imagine I'm here like a crutch and I'm just like, okay, this is what God says. This is what you must do. And you're just there and you have like no personal relationship with him. And that sucks, because that's not the whole point of this. So I hope you're excited. This can seem like it could be a little boring. Don't be a hater. It's going to be fun. So what is the Bible? I really wish that I had someone telling me this when I was starting to read the Bible. Because let me tell you, you know what I did? I was like, the Bible is a book. So I will start on the first page. And then the first page was fine. Some chapters later was fine. And then all of a sudden, there's a bunch of names. And the name just keeps continuing. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? And they're all like, I can't even pronounce some of these names. And it's just, it was a hard time. And so I really had to be taught a lot. Should I actually give a little testimony of how God taught me? I'm going to share a very short testimony of how God taught me how to read the Bible. So I was at a very dark place in my life. And basically, I saw everyone else, whenever they were going through a dark stage in their life, they're always like, I found Jesus and then I got saved. And so I was like, okay, I need to find this dude and then I'll be fine. And I knew from experience of growing up in the church that the Gospels, I'm going to explain now what the Gospels are, but the Gospels dealt with Jesus. So I was like, okay, I just need to read about this dude and I'll be fine. And so I told myself, I was like, okay, I'm going to give myself just to read the book of Matthew, which is about Jesus. And if by the end of the book, I like this guy, then shop. If I read this book and I don't like this guy, so I read it, but one thing that I did is I read it with intense intentionality. If I didn't understand something, I would start again, because there was a lot riding on this. I'll share more about my testimony further on. I don't want to just put my testimony out there. I really want to be intentional and like gradually share it, because there's so much to it. We'll be here for 5 hours. So I would rather share it when it's like appropriate and makes sense, the topic that I'm speaking about. But there was a lot of pressure. And so I knew that when I was reading it, I had to read it correctly. I couldn't just do it half-half. I had to go the full extent. So, and that was amazing, but it took me 2 years. It took me 2 years to read the book of Matthew, but it was amazing because in those 2 years, God taught me so much. I always say it was like the Holy Spirit was my personal tutor and he taught me so much. And so I know that this is literally going to help you guys so much. So what is the Bible? The Bible is actually not just one book. I know it's crazy. It's not just one book. It's actually 66 books. I really hope it's, I didn't write it down in my notes. But I remember it's 66 books. So it's not just one book. And there's, the Bible is kind of split into two sections. You have the first section, which is called the Old Testament. This consists of 39 books, which is books centered around history, law, prophecy, poetry, and wisdom literature. Yeah, this is not a fictional book, guys. Then you have the second half, which is the New Testament, which is 27 books. But the Old Testament, which is the first half of the Bible, it talks about the story of God's creation, his covenant with Israel, and then prophecies about a coming Messiah. A Messiah basically refers to a savior. So there was this very pinnacle protagonist, main character that was going to come and save the world. Then the New Testament, which is the second half of the Bible, speaks about this savior, this pinnacle character, which is Jesus, which I was speaking about previously. And it speaks about his life and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his teaching of his apostles. His apostles were basically his like followers who went on and basically he handed a flaming torch down to them. They took it and they spread the good news and his teachings and his kingdoms and his perceptions and his morals to the rest of the world. And then it kind of describes the evolution of the early church, how it went from Jesus to the fact that you have some weird little building down the road and they sing weird songs. So that's basically the Bible. So when you open it, that's why it's weird. You can't just open it randomly because every single book has a very specific purpose and is written for a very specific reason. And that leads me to the second point of how to read the Bible, which is reading. Is it the second point? I see in my notes it's the fourth point. I'm not good at math. Reading with context. So how are we for time? 22 minutes. I thought it was going to be like an hour. It's going to be like less than an hour. I'll just keep talking about myself. So when you read the Bible, it's so important to read with context. So the Bible is primarily written as a theological and spiritual text. This gets me fired up. It reveals God's relationship with humanity, his character, and plans for salvation. So the reason why this gets me hacked every single time, and I only learned about this recently, is because a lot of people come to the Bible and they're like, they refer to it like a historical document, which it is, but it's not a scientific document. It's not, this is how the world was created. That's not the point. And if I can give an analogy, imagine people, there's this amazing, I have a friend. My friend's name is Anna. I'm going to be using like grade three names. My friend's name is Anna. And people, she lives and she dies. And then in like 30 years time, she becomes this amazing historical figure. And people want to know more about her. So they go to my WhatsApp DMs and they're like, okay, I was best friends with Anna. So let's see the conversations that I would have with Anna. And they're like, okay, bet. Now we can see that Anna was this kind of person. We can see characteristics. Now imagine some random person is like, okay, but was Anna a real person? What was her blood type? How do we know she existed? When was she born? It's like, that's not, you can't be asking such questions out of the Bible. That's not the reason why it was written. So a lot of people want specific historical, logical facts out the Bible. It is a historical piece, but it has a very specific purpose. So if you want to know how the world came to be, if you want to know very specific, I'm trying to think of, it's not really where my headspace is at, but I know a lot of people, they want proof. The Bible was not written for proof. It was written to explain reveals God's relationship with humanity, his character, and the plans for salvation. So if you do have answers, specifically like how the earth came to be, more from a factual and like logical point of view, the Bible is a good place, but it's not the only source that you must use. You must find other sources to help you. Otherwise, you're going to be frustrated. And I don't want you to be frustrated, because that's not the point of the Bible. And now you're getting mad at a book when it was never written for that purpose. The time period, this Bible thing, she's old. She wasn't. A lot of people are like, okay, but I don't know. They think that the Bible was like written yesterday, and it really wasn't. It's really old. And like I said, there's 66 books. So that time span is crazy. I'm not a time nerd. And I know there are some people who are like time nerds, and they like to know like what happened in the Roman Empire and all these things. So I just wrote down some numbers for you, for the people who do want the times. I don't really know what it means. So it was written from circa 14,000 BCE to 400 BCE to 100 CE. Do with that what you will. And then it was written in three different languages. It was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. In addition, there's a lot of different cultures. So there's, for example, in the New Testament, there's a lot of like, there's Roman culture. There we go, for my history nerds and who are like, okay, but how do I know the Bible's real? They talk about the Roman Empire in it. So come at me. Don't come at me, please. Take it up with Jesus when we get to heaven. So when you read it, now you can see that this is not just a regular fiction book. There's books for very specific reasons. For example, there's literally a law book in here that's like Leviticus. So if you go to a library and you grab a law book, you're going to open it and you're going to be in the pits and you're going to struggle, because law is hard to read. Same as if you open up that book in the Bible and you're trying to read, you're reading a law book. It's hard. It takes a lot more time and effort. But there's also biographies. There's also narrations. There's poetry. If you open up to those books, it's going to be way easier to read those. And then I was like, Beth, I want to show you how I practically read it. This is very fun because I'm giving you the easy solution, when in fact it took me 2 years to learn this method. Also, I just want to say, because some people are going to be like, okay, this is the only way to read the Bible. That's not true. God made you in a very specific and unique way. It also says in the word that the Holy Spirit will help us. So in no way, shape, or form is this the only way that you can read the Bible. But I found that it provided amazing revelation. So that's why I want to share it with you. So first question is, okay, Christine, where do I start? What every pastor and his aunt and his cow says is that you must start in the book of John. John is basically, there's four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the New Testament. And they all write about Jesus's life, his birth, his resurrections, his teachings. So they're a great place to start. Personally, I don't think you have to start in John. I think people just say in John because his narrative is really refreshing and is really nice for new believers. I personally started in Matthew. You can start anywhere else, and this just really gives you a great foundation. Now, in the Word of God, it says in Psalms that you must meditate on the Word day and night. And some of you guys are hearing that and you're like, that doesn't sound like TikTok. That sounds like it's more than 60 seconds. And I'm sorry to say, it is more than 60 seconds. It actually takes a lot of work. It's good. It's going to be beneficial and you're going to bear fruit and you're not going to be depressed anymore. So just freaking do it. So I have a process, and the process is called, it's just a three-step process. So you have comprehension. I'm reading out now. So when you have the Bible, you're going to take a piece. I like to give myself 2 to 3 verses. This is like 2 to 3 sentences. And you're like, that's easy. It is easy, but it's a lot. So like I said, I forgot to add. Anyway, I'll do it when I do the actual example. So you're going to take 2 to 3 verses. You're going to have these 2 to 3 verses. If first you're going to take the book and you're going to say, okay, what's the context of who's the author writing this? Who are they? Who's the audience? There's so many sources. There's the Bible Project. You can Google, you can ChatGPT these things. So it's really easy. I promise you it's not hard. And so you're going to be like, okay, so they're writing to this people group for this reason. So I'm not going to get offended when they start coming for me because that's not the context. And you're going to take 2 to 3 verses, sentences. And every time you see a name, a person's name, a country, if you even see a preposition, I know some of you guys don't know what that word means, and it's okay. But if they say, we went up, or we went down, or we went in, you're going to take note of that. And that's what comprehension is. Comprehension is you're going to basically deconstruct everything. Then the next step is interpretation. You're going to take, but what happens is when you do the comprehension and when you break everything down, it actually creates a different level of meaning. And it's so good. So when you break it down, there's a different level of meaning and you're going to interpret that. You're going to be like, okay, so the Bible wasn't just saying this. It was also saying this. And this is actually the meaning of this. And it wasn't just this. It meant this and that. And you're literally going to sit there and you're just going to be like, it's the coolest thing because there's no coincidences. Everything makes sense. And then once you understand the passage and you see what it actually means, you're going to apply it to your own life. And the craziest part is a lot of people, when they want to start reading the Bible, it's because there's something happening in their life and they want the Bible to speak to that specific circumstance. And one thing that I found, because what I used to do is I used to just take the Bible and I'd just be like, God, speak to me. And then it was never helpful ever. I think only like 3 times was it actually useful. And then so it took obedience. And then I chose to read Matthew and I would open up in Matthew and I'd read it. And all of a sudden it actually spoke to my circumstance. Or it spoke to a circumstance that I didn't realize was important, but God was highlighting was important. I'd be stressing about a boy. And then the verse would be on anxiety and how to have peace in any circumstance. So God will always speak to you when it's always perfect timing. So now I'm going to show you an example of how to do this. I'm also going to take a sip of water because I'm fine. Okay, now I'm going to show you guys practically how I read the Bible. If you would turn to Luke 7, verse 11 to 17. So, that was a nice big sigh. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a city called Nain, near Nazareth. And his disciples and a large crowd accompanied him. Now as he approached the city gate, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her in the funeral procession. When the Lord saw her, he felt great compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he came up and touched the bier on which the body rested, and the pallbearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise from death." The man who was dead sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Fear and profound awe gripped them all, and they began glorifying and honoring and praising God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people to help and care for and provide for them." This news about him spread through all of Judea and in all the surrounding countryside. This is a bit of a big little piece of passage. But it's fine because there weren't that many names or that many like prepositions. I do quickly want to add, there's different translations of the Bible. I'm going to have a whole full episode explaining how these translations came about, because now you're thinking like, okay, the Bible's not accurate because it was translated differently. I'm going to go in depth about that, but just for now, there are different translations of the Bible. I'm reading the Amplified, and basically this part was written in Greek. The Greek is a much richer language than English. So it actually has like a lot of brackets, and in the brackets, it just explains more context, gives more details than what the English would. You have different translations. I really like the Amplified version because it goes in depth. I also like the NRT, the ESV, and I also sometimes use the Message. The Message was kind of like written very recently, so it explains things in words that like you and I can understand, because a lot of this is like hear he, and it can be hard to understand. So I just read that passage, and now we're going to break it down. So this is actually my study notes, so just so you guys don't think I'm a liar and I'm just showing up, this is not my first time reading the Bible, I promise. So verse 11, soon afterwards, Jesus went to a city called Nain. Okay, we're going to take note of the word Nain. What does Nain mean? Nain means green pasture, lovely, beauty, pleasantness. And it's the first miracle of raising the dead. Okay, cool. Now, as he approached the city gate, a dead man was being carried out. Okay, pause. Why is he being carried out the city gate? What was... a dead man was being carried out. Okay, so a dead man is being carried out the city gate. Why is that happening? City gate. During that cultural period, the dead was buried outside the city gates. Okay, cool. The only son of his mother, which meant that she was a widow. And in that cultural context, when it was very important that women had men around them because they were their protection, they were also their source of provision. So if a woman didn't have a male, they were basically dead. I don't know why I'm laughing about that. That is so inappropriate. And a large crowd from the city was with her in the funeral procession. So they're obviously in a funeral. Verse 13, when the Lord saw her, he felt great compassion for her and said to her, do not weep. And he came up and touched the bier. The bier is like the stretcher on which the body rested, and the pallbearer stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise from death. The man who was dead sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. So I'm going to pause there. So now I've explained everything. They're in the city. The city is, it means green pasture, lovely beauty, pleasantness. This boy had died. This boy was very important to his mother, and they were busy carrying him out of the city. So what I went and what I interpreted it as is that sometimes we may be in a season or a place of green pastures, but for some reason we died. Something went within us, a circumstance, a person. It could be like a real loved one died. It could be sometimes a part of you died. And now what's happening is you're being taken out of this green pasture because you're dead. Whether that's, again, like physical, relationally, there's some part of you that's dead and it's being taken away. But here's the thing. You don't want to be taken out of this green place. You don't want to be taken away from this pasture, this loveliness and beauty. But what happens is Jesus sees you and he goes and he has great compassion. And he says, I don't want you leaving. It's not time for you to leave. He doesn't physically say that. Sorry, I'm adding on to the Bible now. I'm applying it. Bear with me. But there's this leaving out of the purpose that Jesus still has for you. And he stops and he says, get up, come alive. And so I was in a season where I had relationally, something had died and I was really sad. And it was like, I felt like I was leaving this place of beauty, this place of this pasture. And God was saying, that was never my intention. I never wanted you to die. we could be in circumstances and seasons where everything around us is happening and is beautiful and is thriving, but we're dying. And Jesus is like, that was never my purpose. I have compassion for you and I'm going to raise you back to life. So that's an example of how this was just a story of someone's son who had died and was taken to be buried and then came back to life. Just that in itself is so cool and powerful because it shows that Jesus can raise people from the dead. But did you see how much cooler it was when we broke it down and we saw that there was more layers to it and we could apply that layers to ourselves? It makes it so much cooler. And another thing that's really cool, I didn't really do a study in this, but Nain is also a real place. So if you have doubts about the Bible, when it says actual real cities, you can be like, okay, but that exists. And that's so cool because this is not just a fictional thing. There's also some parts where they'll say they went up or they went out. And a lot of times when you're reading that, it's actually historically accurate because when you go and you look at the landscape and they say, oh, they went up or they went across the sea to this place, you look at the map and that is true. And someone writing the Bible is not just going to sum thuck and be like, yeah, they went up a mountain. Like if I've never been to Israel, I'm never going to say, oh, there's mountains, because I don't actually know what the terrain looks like. So you can't just make things up. So the fact that they write things in such specific ways just helps and gives you confidence in the Bible. It also explains deeper meanings. And then also remember earlier I said, God always meets you where you're at whenever you just be obedient and come forth. So this is really exciting. Yesterday I was reading the Bible. Not I was reading the Bible. I was preparing for this. And I was telling God, I was like, God, I don't actually know. I know this is from you, but I have doubts that I should do this podcast. And I was like, just please, can you confirm? Please, can you just, you know, I really want to glorify you and make sure that I'm in your will. And so I was busy preparing and I was like, okay, I'm going to do a Bible study with you guys on this passage because I'm currently in the book of Luke. So it's recent. I know a lot about it. And it came to my mind instantly. So I was like, okay, cool, easy. And I was busy reading through the notes. And just before, the one note that I put in on my tablet was the pinnacle scriptures of what carries this. And I put in Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, which goes, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Now, when I did this Bible study, I wonder if I wrote the date. It was last year, December, when I did this Bible study. And I was in the application process of this Bible study. And I wrote, how often does Jesus have compassion for us? And then when has Jesus given us an instruction to hold on to hope for what he is going to do? Because basically what this passage is saying is that... Freeman dropped something. There are moments when there is death in our lives, but it's not time for that. And God wants us to hope because he wants us to stay alive. And so I was applying this to my circumstance and I was like, what's an area in my life where I felt like it has died, but God is actually calling me to have hope in, and he has given me instructions to do. And it's crazy because what I wrote, what the instruction that he gave to me to do was to preach the word and make disciples. And it's Matthew 28, verse 20. So he literally confirmed that I was meant to do this. And it was all just because I was obedient and I showed up. So yay, that was my very first podcast. I really hope it wasn't a boring one. It can't be because it's about Jesus. So I really pray that this blew your mind. If you guys have any questions, please bring it to the comment section. I'd love to talk with you guys. If you have any questions, go to your pastor. Leave me alone. I'm joking. I really want this to be a place where we grow. You get community. You feel heard. You leave smiling. And honestly, I just hope you get to know Jesus. I really hope you get to feel his love and his joy. And I know reading the Bible can sometimes be a lot of work. Don't be too hard on yourself. If you don't get something, if something is hard, there's so many resources out there. Please put it in the comment section. It would be so sick if we have a community of people who someone is like, oh my gosh, I'm reading Matthew right now. Like, what are your guys' thoughts? And we just have everyone reveal everything. Because the most craziest part is we all have different perspectives. So I may be coming with my specific perspective, but I would love to hear your guys' perspectives to share what we are learning and just to grow more in Christ. So if you're new to reading the Bible, welcome. Welcome to this journey. And I can't wait for you and Jesus to get even closer. I don't know how to end this off. I didn't practice this. Like and subscribe. Okay. Bye, guys. Love you.